Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read three short passages of Scripture, first out of Romans, and then the Gospel of Mark, and then the Gospel of Luke. First out of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8, and I'm reading out of the Message translation, and this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, we can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. Talk about more of that more in a moment. Then I have the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, beginning at verse 22. They led Jesus to the place called Golgotha. The soldiers nailed Jesus to a cross. Then they divided his clothes among themselves, throwing dice to see who would get what. At noon, the whole country became dark. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out loudly. Then Jesus cried out and died. Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. Very early Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb where Jesus' body was laid. They brought the sweet-smelling spices they had prepared. They saw that the heavy stone that covered the entrance had been rolled away. They went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Two men in shining clothes stood beside them. The men said to them, "Why are you looking for a living person here? Jesus is not here. He has risen from death." Well, a couple of days ago on Easter Sunday, we all remembered that day over 2,000 years ago where some of those who had been with Jesus all the time during his ministry for 3 years and then through Holy Week were headed now to the tomb. Defeated. During that past week for them, they had watched the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday. This was the time they were certain he was to finally take over the rule from the Roman government. That was what was supposed to happen, they believed. They had been waiting for the coming of the promised Messiah for over 400 years. This had to be him. Finally, they were sure of it. In the last 3 years, Jesus had been teaching and healing, performing miracles, regularly irritating religious leaders, and wandering the countryside with his disciples. And through all of that, he had given them hope that this was the moment that he would take over the government and make their lives better, here and now. Of course, they were right. It was the moment, but it wouldn't happen how they expected, imagined, or believed. And then just a few short days later, on Friday, Good Friday, we call it, he would breathe his last, doing what he came to do for us as he hung from and died on the cross at Calvary. And looking up at him, hanging on that cross that Friday, those who were there didn't get it. They didn't understand. How could this be happening? Really, how could this be happening? So, as they suffered through Saturday, dejected, in despair, not knowing what was next, and headed to the tomb that next morning, what do you suppose they were expecting to find when they arrived? A miracle? Do you think they came there that morning expecting to find an empty tomb with two angels there telling them that their spices weren't needed, the Lord had already taken off? No, they came with their spices, expecting to anoint Jesus' dead body. Even though he had told them what would happen in 3 days, they didn't expect anything special. They didn't expect the miracle that he had promised. And as they came at dawn that morning, they were still overcome with the horror of Friday, remembering how Jesus was beaten and mocked, spit upon, ridiculed, whipped, and then nailed to the cross and hung up to die. They watched as Roman soldiers drew lots for his garments at the foot of the cross, while the life hanging above them, his, slowly dripped away. And then they saw how the sky darkened and the earth shook as he breathed his last. Darkness was all around. It was a metaphor for their lives, and it was way too much for them to take in. Their hope was gone. They were separated from Christ. Everywhere they turned, they hit a wall of darkness, a wall of despair. They couldn't see beyond or get past. There was nothing good about what happened. We've been there. I have. I suspect some of you have. I know some of you have. Maybe we're there now. We face walls we can't seem to get beyond or get around. Walls which isolate us from others, often self-imposed ones. Walls of rejection or criticism from others which we allow to stand in our way, that hold us back from becoming all that we can be. Or maybe walls of guilt that we can't get beyond, despite the fact that God has already forgiven us, but we can't let it go and forgive ourselves. Walls of sorrow and self-doubt, of disappointments and tragedies that we can't get beyond. Walls of sin and wrongdoings that make us feel that we don't deserve him. We can't get back to him, and we're sure that he'll never forgive us for what we did. We have moments that we can only describe as darkness, where we begin to feel almost irretrievably separated and distant from God. I was checking out of a store in town not too long ago. I made a trip there for my bride, Linda. She needed me to pick up something. And as I laid the item I was buying for her on the checkout counter, I could see that the young lady checking me out had a tattoo on the underside of her left arm, which mentioned Romans. But I couldn't make out the verse. So I asked her what the verse was. Romans 5:8, she said, showing it to me. And then seeing that I was trying to call it up, she waited for a moment for me to remember. But after a bit, when I couldn't remember that particular verse, she said, the verse is, I loved you at your darkest. She smiled, sensing I could tell at that very moment even the truth of that verse for her, realizing that no matter where she was or what she had done, God loved her and showed her that when Christ died on the cross for her. My friends, God sent Jesus to die for us, not because we were good enough, but because we weren't. He loved us. The passage from the Message translation of Romans we read before says, but God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. Guys, before Christ, we were lost in darkness, and there was nothing we could have done for him to get him to do what he did for us, period. Couldn't do anything, couldn't earn it, period. Nothing we could have done. The passage from the Living Bible in Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. His death is the clearest manifestation of God's love for you and for me. We didn't deserve it, yet he drew us close. It's hard to think of what happened that Friday at Calvary is good, but our eternal life with our Heavenly Father would never have happened without what Christ did on the cross for you and for me. The word good back then was also translated as holy, and therefore Holy Friday became Good Friday. Calling it Good Friday, though, seems entirely appropriate because the suffering and the death of Jesus, as horrible, terrible, and dark as that was, marked the dramatic culmination of God's plan to save his people from their sins. He sent the Messiah, not to rule in the place of the Roman government, but to save us, to provide a way to an eternal relationship with the Holy God once we completed our short stay here on earth, and to rule in our lives forever in heaven with him. It was a good moment for us, a great moment for us. Whenever we have moments where we feel uncertain by God's love for us, we need to remember that he loved us even before we turned to him. He loved us when we were forever separated from him. He loved us when we went out on our own. He loved us as we lived a life of sin away from him. He loved us when we didn't deserve his love. He loved us in our darkness. He loved us when we messed up. He loved us when we were of no use whatsoever to him. Couldn't do anything for him. He loved us in our darkest moments. In those moments where we stray from his way and are less than he wants it to be. In all of the darkest moments of our lives where sin had a grip on us, feeling that there was no way out, where we didn't know how or where to take the first step back into the light, he loved us and he showed us the way. And he does today, and he will tomorrow and every day. No matter how lonely or alienated at times we feel, we have the absolute truth in our pocket that Christ died for us. Every time we celebrate communion, we hear and embrace the words of Jesus. This is my body, Scott, broken for you. This is my blood, Scott, shed for you. We cannot earn it, my friends. We did not earn it. When we were sinners, when we didn't even know him, he died for us because, are you ready? Because he loved us. And as we press on to be all he created us to be, we can always remember and believe his words to us along the way, which that young lady had tattooed on her arm, quote, I loved you at your darkest, close quote. He did, and he always will. Always. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this reminder. Thank you for Easter that reminds us of that. But every day is Easter, Lord. Every day we know you are risen, calling us then and providing us the way to be risen with you when we finish our short term here on earth. Help us to realize that, what you did for us, to accept you as our Savior, Lord, assuring us of that eternal moment with us, that final step from here to there, forever with you. Help us, Lord, to be all that you want us to be for others. Thank you for what you did for us, but Lord, also that responsibility for us to go out and to follow you, sacrificial living for others, and to help others to know you, help others to live the lives that you created them to live. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for what you did for us and what you do for us every day. And thanks, as I said, for just loving us in all of our stuff. In your son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.